Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East Eddy Ranch in beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. We've got quite a show for you tonight. We've got Dr. Michael Sala with Exopolitics to illuminate us on to some of the major events going on. We're having some major UN, United Nations, you might say, activity and all kinds of things going on. We might even find out why the Pope came to Washington, who knows, but... Anyway, with any further ado, Michael, are you with us?
Aloha, James. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Yeah, it's great to have you on the show.
I'm looking forward to covering some of these issues. It really is quite an exciting time with just the increase in UFO sightings and the evidence that governments are starting to coordinate to change their policy. So that's something hopefully I'll be able to talk a little bit about tonight.
Yeah. Now, how's the last conference? There was a referendum put together, and or was it the one before that? I don't do time very well, but I was wondering how that was going with the UN as far as opening the door for contact.
Well, the UN is a really kind of it's a vast bureaucracy, and so one has to be really specific in terms of how to get initiatives taken on board there. The only time that it has been success in terms of getting the UN take the UFO issue seriously was in 1978 when the UN passed a decision, and that was the General Assembly decision 33/426 in 1978, and that called for the creation of a UN agency or department to cover the evidence concerning extraterrestrial life and UFOs. And so that was something that was organized by the Prime Minister of Grenada at the time, Sir Eric Gehry, and because he was a head of state, he had the power to bring that issue up to the UN for discussion. And, you know, he really kind of shepherded that issue through the UN so that eventually it was put to a vote in a committee and passed unanimously, and it became a General Assembly decision. And so that is something that's been on the books for over 30 years now. Well, this is the 30th year. And that is not something that has been implemented. It's basically been kind of stashed away deep in the UN records in terms of decisions that have been taken. And that's probably the only time that the UN has discussed this issue seriously. There have been a number of other occasions where there have been NGOs that have affiliation with the UN that have brought speakers to address topics. So that's how Richard Hoagland, you know, his famous talk at the UN, that was actually a speech that was given in a meeting room at the UN, but the meeting itself was organized by an NGO associated with the UN, and similarly with some other meetings that have occurred there at the UN, such as one organized by Dr. Norma Milanovic, and Stanton Friedman, I believe, was also at that meeting. But those are the only ones, and I really think that it's a challenge, but that's why I'm so enthused by this the testimony about the secret meetings being held at the UN. It looks as though they're going to change policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my next question about the secret meeting that was going around. There were so many people trying to debunk it, and as usual, the UFO field, you might say, has kind of eats its own in these things. Whenever somebody's making headway, everybody seems to jump up and try to pull them down again. I don't know why, but again, there was a lot of controversy around this, so there definitely was a UN meeting concerning contact and the ongoing appearances of the ships that are coming in, seems like on a regular basis now.
Well, yes, that's right. The meetings, according to the two primary witnesses who have come forward, one is an anonymous person who has a military background and is currently stationed at the State Department, and he was the first to disclose that the meetings happened on February 12, and that was that was the subject of the very first article that I put out, notifying the public about these meetings. And then there was another primary source who was a Frenchman, who attended the meetings, and he put out his information. And, of course, there was the inevitable controversy over the fact that while the first source was anonymous and the second source, the French gentleman, even though it was known who he was and initially people thought he was a very credible witness, then it turned out that there were some problems with the with his background, with his credentials, that there were some inconsistencies there. So then people jumped up and down and said, well, you know, we're going to dismiss his testimony as well. But, of course, you know, the way in which the information is released often in to the public is it's often done through people who can't be traced or who people who are anonymous, or as in the case of the French gentleman Gilles Laurent, someone whose background is kind of a little murky, so that they can be easily discredited. And I think that's what happened. But the meetings themselves definitely went ahead. We've had other sources confirm that the meetings went ahead, and even Stephen Greer, more recently, after Greer himself was initially skeptical of that the meetings went ahead, and in fact, one of his representatives called them called it disinformation. As it turns out, he found out through his sources, and that included the foreign minister of a major G7 nation, and I believe it was France, that actually confirmed that the meetings went ahead and confirmed Gilles Laurent's testimony. So that is just more evidence that the meetings did occur. So maybe I can talk a little bit about what was discussed at the meetings, because I think that's something very relevant to what you've been doing.
Yeah, exactly. That would be my next question. What did they discuss, and you know, what are the ramifications for us on the ground here, you might say?
Right. Well, the meetings basically were called to deal with international concern over the increased number of UFO sightings around the planet. Over the last 18 months or so, there's just been a phenomenal increase in UFO sightings. Now, whether you know it's just purely a result of people having camcorders and cell phones that can take videos and photos, or whether it's an actual increase in UFOs themselves, whatever the ultimate reason, nevertheless, there's just been this upsurge of sightings material that has gone up on the internet. And what has resulted is that a number of countries have wanted to find out what is going on here. And, for example, Japan in December of 2007, the Japanese cabinet secretary and the defense minister both made statements concerning UFOs, that they confirmed that UFOs existed and that Japanese policy was going to be one where if extraterrestrial life showed up over Japanese airspace, that they wouldn't shoot if the ETs basically came in peace. And that's a policy statement, and that has never happened before, mm-hmm. which might sound pretty odd that countries would not make a policy statement concerning extraterrestrial life, such as what would you do if they showed up over major cities. But nevertheless, that's been the case. It's always been debunked. It's always been politicians would say, well, no, there's no evidence that UFOs or extraterrestrial life is real, so we that's a ridiculous question. Let's move on. But here you have an example of a major country, a G7 country, Japan, actually saying, yes, UFOs are real, and if extraterrestrial life shows up, we will just not respond in a military way if they are peaceful. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line was that these different countries that were concerned about UFO sightings asked for the UN to take this issue up, and so there was a secret discussion at the UN from February 12 to 14. Discussing UFO sightings and what to do, and there were a range of issues that were raised about what would happen if extraterrestrial life showed up and technologies were exchanged and so forth, but at the end of the day, they reached agreement based on two conditions, and so maybe I can just go over those two conditions.
Yes, that'd be great.
They reached agreement on a change in policy. And the change in policy was going to be one where now there would be openness, that there would be a shift from what has been the kind of official stance of debunking UFO reports, sightings, and claims of contact with extraterrestrial life. That was set down in 1953 at the Robinson panel, that there would be a shift to a policy of openness. Now, openness is different to disclosure. In disclosure, you would basically tell the truth. With openness, what you would do is basically say, well, we don't know if it's true or not, but, you know, we've got an open mind. And that's in itself is quite a remarkable change in policy, because it means that the UN and universities and think tanks will suddenly start to look at this issue with a kind of open mind, which is going to be quite a dramatic shift from the closed-minded dismissiveness that has been existing up until the present. But the change in policy was based on two conditions being met, and this was what was agreed to at these meetings. The first condition was that the present level of UFO sightings would be maintained. So in other words, that suggested that there's an external factor driving this process, which is the extraterrestrials themselves, that they are appearing around the world with at such a frequency and with such clarity that many people around the world are waking, many people are taking note and waking up, and obviously you have many skeptics or cynics suddenly becoming confirmed believers because they have had their own sightings. So in other words, there's a process that is being driven by the extraterrestrials themselves, and I know you obviously do that up at the ranch. You have these frequent sightings of extraterrestrial vehicles up there at Mount Adams, and so that is something that, if it maintains the present level, that this change in policy will go forward. And the second condition was that there would be no threat to the liberal democratic system around the world. So that was a very important insight into the thinking of those present at the meetings, that they did not want the reality of extraterrestrial life and UFOs to impact negatively on the stability of major democratic nations. That if that were to happen, that all of a sudden people started to riot in the streets or started to call for a revolution because governments have been lying. And I mean, if that were to happen, they would kind of close down on the openness policy. So provided those two conditions were met, the agreement was that there would be a change in policy in 2009.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds quite interesting. The just about a few nights ago, we had an amazing ship came flying right over the ranch here. And, I mean, it was huge. Came right over the top of the house, and I shot the laser up at it, and it went beyond it. So it shows that it's definitely in our atmosphere, and this thing powered up, and you can see the laser going over it and next to it and shooting up at it, and then you see this ship just get enormous and blocks out the whole screen, you know, on the video recorder. So, we have so much of that, and we have that in the movie Contact Has Begun, and we have the plasma ships and the ships that are just pure energy on film that have been completely validated, that these are definitely not, you know, pie pans thrown up in the sky or anything like that. You know, but the evidence here, even with the triple PhD Boeing engineers that have been here that actually testified on the Art Bell show, it's undeniable with Air Force base commanders and pilots and, you know, air traffic controllers, all of these witnesses that have come here and have seen the ships. It seems like all they need to do is take a little bit of their vacation time and come up here and hang out a couple of days, and it would be a done deal.
Well, yeah, that's right. And I think what has been happening up there at Mount Adams has been happening maybe to a lesser extent, but certainly something that is also having a very profound effect, you know, right around the country and around the world, and it's really getting a lot of people excited, and the YouTube is just getting flooded, and there's just so many mainstream stories now and the media coming out on UFO sightings, and so that's all very encouraging. So I think there's a process that's being driven here by the ETs themselves, and there's no going back. I mean, they're just showing up more frequently, and I think that they have really pushed a timetable on to the governmental authorities who are kind of in the loop about this. And there's kind of a process which has begun now, and that's very exciting because it's going to be a new world once we get kind of officials publicly being open towards this.
Yeah, I've always felt that the you know, the real disclosure is going to come from the sky. We need to do our part on the ground to make an avenue for that to happen, and an openness for this. But, you know, they're going to do their thing, and it is our destiny to join the rest of the universe, eventually in peace, hopefully. But we just need to drop this warring, aggressive stand and knock off all this war and space program that we keep moving in that direction and start taking a peaceful approach.
Well, yeah, I think it's going to be really profound once people get to be aware of the UFO issue, because then there's going to be this policy question that comes up. Well, what do we do? And of course, the government or the kind of spin masters have already been laying the foundations for that in terms of putting up all of the, or releasing or authorizing, encouraging all of these kind of very negative ET-related movies like Invasion or War of the Worlds, Independence Day, and so forth. All of these movies that depict extraterrestrials as a threat. Because I think once people get briefed, or once they get up to speed in terms of extraterrestrial life being real, the big challenges are then going to be the policy questions. Well, what do we do? What do we do about them visiting? Are they a threat? Are they peaceful? What has been the historical experience? And so the government is going to be spinning this furiously to justify the national security system that has been set up with all of the secret space platforms, the plasma beam weapons, directed energy weapons, and who knows what else they have deep down in these underground laboratories around the country. So they're going to want to justify why these weapon systems should be maintained. So there's going to be a really really strong public debate over whether or not these weapon systems are justified, especially as, you know, they're spraying the atmosphere with all of these pollutants, you know, the chemtrails, because that seems to be all, I believe, related to maintaining a kind of global shield where they can use these directed energy weapons and electromagnetic weapons against visiting ET ships. So that's all going to be the big debate, and, yeah, I'm on your side on that one, that, we really don't need to go down that track.
Yeah, the tracking, I think, too, is with all the particles in there, they can probably track them much easier with all the radar. One thing that, here they're just hammering us with chemtrails the past 2 days. It's just unbelievable. And, you know, everybody's coming up with that upper respiratory problem, and they've, you know, with the barium salts and the aluminum oxide and ethylene dibromide and all the garbage that's in those things, I mean, it's a toxic soup up there, and it's definitely making a lot of people sick. I mean, asthma is going off the charts right now. A lot of upper respiratory, it also hits gastrointestinal problems and muscle and joint pain. And to me, it just seems that there's some psychopaths that are scientists that are giving us some real misinformation, and the military is just saying, okay, yeah, let's do that. That's what we need to do. And the leadership is going, okay, And it's just going down the line, and we need these, you know, just an 8-year-old to raise his hand and do the Emperor Has No Clothes and just say, well, so we're going to be dumping toxic poisons all over ourselves for this fictitious threat, you know, that you guys are saying might be there. But, you know, the other thing that I think is just beyond ridiculous is, in the interest of national security, we're trying to back engineer weapons to shoot down beings that are thousands of years ahead of us in evolution, and some maybe millions, even billions of years ahead of us in evolution, which to me is not really in our highest and best good, and it's just a no-brainer. You're not going to win a war with somebody of that caliber, so why initiate one? It seems like in the interest of national security, we should be making peace with these benevolent ones and the ones with the real technologies and the ones that are service oriented, that and ask them to help us out right now, because this planet is really in a mess, you know, considering all the pollution that's already here, and then you add all the pollution that they're adding to it with all these aerosol spraying programs, and it's just it seems like total insanity.
Well, you know, I think that they've been doing this policy of taking pot shots at different ET visitors for a long time. There was that the incident just up at South Haven Park up Long Island in 1992, where a number of witnesses came forward and said that they saw the particle beam weapon that was located at Brookhaven National Labs actually being used against two extraterrestrial ships. Oh, three, actually. There were three extraterrestrial ships. One was a kind of larger one, a mothership, and there were two smaller ones, the scout ships. And so they were kind of up there. And this particle beam weapon came out of Brookhaven Lab and obliterated the first one, obliterated the mothership, which was quite larger. Apparently it was a few hundred feet. Mm-hmm. In size, and it just was destroyed using this weapon. The scout craft itself, one of the scout crafts just escaped straight up into space. The other scout craft kind of hung there for a little bit, and then it was shot by a particle beam by the same particle beam weapon, and it crashed, and they retrieved that. And I think that there have been a number of these crash retrieval operations that have been done secretly where some of these ships were shot down. The Ryan Wood's book, Magic Eyes Only, I mean, he lists in there 74 crash retrieval operations that there is good, solid testimonial evidence that these have happened. And most of them take place since the 1940s. And then, of course, you have that video footage of STS-48, where taken from the Space Shuttle Discovery, I believe, where they showed a particle beam weapon being used against a UFO that was able to kind of dodge it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what we have here is that these particle beam weapons have been deployed for decades now. Sometimes they get lucky and shoot some down, and of course they go and retrieve it, and they have all this high-tech weaponry technology that they reverse engineer. And I think in most cases they miss, but you know, I mean, it's like the predator in the jungle, you know, like the big cats, the lions. I mean, the statistic is, you know, they have to kind of they have to try to catch some animal 20 times before they get lucky once. And so I think it's the same with the secret government and these particle beam weapons. They have, you know, probably 10, 20 pot shots at extraterrestrial vehicles, and they get lucky one out of that, you know, once out of that 10, 20, and they've got their hardware, and they justify it on that basis. So, and they've been doing this a long time, and yeah, I think it's crazy, but they've been doing it.
Yeah, you think about the scout ship that went home, you know, and went home to mama, you know, and what that might create. And I just think it's kind of insane, basically, that we could actually even compete or even try to win a war with these. You know, we might be able to shoot down lesser evolved ships and people just not paying attention, but once the rest of the universe realizes the toys we're playing with and the consequences of shooting at them, you know, might bring back some kind of reciprocation here real shortly.
You know, I think that their mentality is probably like, you know, they see the Earth as a dangerous place, kind of like the way explorers might go and study the Amazon and study some of the primitive tribes. You know, the explorers might get pretty close. Of course, they've got, you know, much more evolved weaponry, but they, you know, if some of the Amazonian tribes kind of use their little blow darts, and kind of shoot one of these explorers with a blow dart, they're not going to go in there with machine guns and destroy the tribe. You know, they'll just say, well, you know, it's kind of bad luck. We know there's risk, and they'll take their injured or dead colleague with them, and they'll just kind of go off. And I think probably that's the way the more evolved ETs operate, that they, you know, they recognize it's a dangerous place. They understand that there's a kind of a small minority here controlling the whole planet, and that most of the people on the planet are really kind of law-abiding, lovely people wanting peace and harmony and justice and get on with one another. But there's a small minority of elites that are just kind of controlling things and creating and running a prison planet. So I think that some of these evolved ETs come here genuinely on a kind of humanitarian mission. They know it's a dangerous place. They come to help us, and they know that's the price may be that they get shot down, but they still do it. So it's a dangerous place here, I think, if you're an ET civilization wanting to help humanity evolve.
I think it's a dangerous place if you're awake and trying to help humanity, even on the ground, you know, considering, you know, what we've done to all the masters and saints and sages of the past.
Right, yeah, it's not just the ETs, is it? It's
no, anybody that comes here trying to wake humanity up and empower them, you know, and get them moving in their evolutionary process seems to have a very short lifespan. You know, one of the things I wanted to talk about, we were here and I had a couple physicists here at the time. It was quite interesting. And we were watching this huge golden ship come over the house. It went to the right side of Mount Adams, which would be to the east. And it started moving over towards, there's the Yakima over in that area. And they have a Yakima proving ground there, and they do test a lot of toys over there. But we saw it coming from the other side of the hill, it looked like a plasma weapon and pulse lasers. And these physicists, one of them actually worked on some of the projects. He knew exactly what he was looking at. He goes, oh, my God. He goes, they're using pulse lasers and a plasma weapon trying to shoot this ship down. And they definitely hit it. I mean, they just fired away at it several times, and we were watching the whole thing, and the ship just got a little brighter and just kept going, you know, like nothing happened. So it must have been, you know, a much more advanced ship and just took the high road. But I talked to a friend of mine who was in the military, and he said his nephew was part of that group, and he wouldn't tell him. He said they had a highly classified operation, you know, top secret operation going on, and it was on that backside of the hill. But he said, I can't tell you what it was. I can't tell you anything more about it. But the date and the time when this happened and everything else corresponded, you know, exactly with what we saw. So, you know, we're definitely taking pot shots at these beings. And you know, to me, if anything, it's just an extreme embarrassment to us, you know, defining our character, and, you know, with the possibility of them just saying, okay, enough, we're going to come back and take away your toys. You can't just keep firing on things in space or flying around the air, and it's just too dangerous. Who knows, you know, what the ultimate decision might be.
Yeah, it would be a very interesting dynamic to see how the ETs kind of deal with this. I imagine most of them, or many of them, just kind of like evade the weapons as you described and just kind of get away. Others might take a more proactive stance, like dismantling some of these weapon systems because they're obviously being used in secret without the population knowing about it. So in that sense, you can make a case that these weapon systems are not representing the will of the American people. They're just representing the interests of a small cabal that wants to keep the American population in the dark, literally. So, it would be interesting to see whether or not some of the weapon systems themselves are attacked by some of the ET civilizations who really are kind of fed up with this kind of tactic of being shot at.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, if you're, let's say you're this ET family and you go, hey, let's go cruise over Earth and do a flyby and check out the oceans and, you know, the dolphins and the whales or whatever, and see what's going on. You pack your little picnic basket, you know, and you're cruising through the cosmos here and you drop into Earth and you just get blasted to smithereens. You know, it seems that somebody eventually would take a dim view on that and just say, you know, that just wasn't right.
Yeah, well, exactly. I think that the ETs that are coming here, that they're just so diverse and they have so many different kind of orientations and levels of technology, and obviously some of them are very highly evolved spiritually and technologically, and so these weapon systems probably don't mean, aren't really much of a threat against them, but there are other civilizations that probably aren't as highly evolved technologically, and so these weapon systems are more of a threat, and so maybe they would take defensive actions. But of course, the Earth situation is so complex because, you know, we have a situation where historically it's only a small cabal that have been knowledgeable about these advanced weapon systems and have been using them, and most of the people on the Earth, you know, have no idea that there are advanced weapon systems being used against extraterrestrial visitors.
Yeah, they have no idea that we could actually burn water in our cars instead of gasoline, and that there's fuelless energy devices that could provide all our transportation and energy needs. And, you know, they don't know any of this stuff exists, and it's kind of sad because the very things that we need to implement to get us through some major changes coming up and other events and to clean up our planet are being withheld and suppressed and not allowed to come forward.
Yep, I mean, that's really the key issue here, I think, is that too many people are asleep. I mean, too many people are just trusting the governmental authorities. And maybe this is one of the good things about the Bush administration, is that people who previously were kind of staunch Republicans now for the first time are really looking at some of the conspiracy theorists about 9/11 and the whole kind of fabricated weapons of mass destruction justification for Iraq. You know, I think a lot of kind of people who previously would never have questioned the governmental authority and saw themselves as staunch conservatives are now openly questioning government and think that government lies and that they're not being given the full picture on a lot of things. And so now they're starting to look at the conspiracy theory websites, you know, visiting kind of Prison Planet with Alex Jones, and visiting the Rents website, and then kind of like going beyond and looking at some of the other things, like, you know, like the 9/11 websites, and then maybe they're going to start looking at the UFO issue as another area that's been suppressed. So yeah, I think that the people are slowly waking up, but it's a tough job, because still there's a lot of people that support the Bush administration.
Yeah, you know, to me, I think he's the perfect president to bring forward just how utterly ridiculous this whole thing and the epitome of greed and totally disconnected from the people, how some of these leaders can get. And, you know, that's what I've seen in this administration. You know, it's just been one of deception and profit at any expense. And yeah, we're going to have calls later on in the show, hopefully. But it's just amazing watching this whole thing unfold. It's gotten so ugly and so dark and so in your face. I don't see how anybody could miss it anymore. How corrupt and greedy and totally inconsiderate of life and, you know, the environment and everything else, you know, a group can get without people just finally waking up and seeing it, you know. To me, it's just, I mean, it's gotten so ugly, so dark, you just can't miss it anymore.
Well, that's right, and I guess for the average American living somewhere out there who previously didn't believe that governments would, you know, that the American government would lie to this extent or could be capable of such dark acts, I mean, now they're paying $4 at the petrol at the gas station, and so that you know, it's a reminder that, well, you know, there's someone out there making a lot of money, and it just happens to be the gas and oil companies. And and of course, it doesn't take too much kind of logical analysis to conclude that maybe the wars in the Middle East were contrived to help pump up these gas prices to generate windfall profits for not only the gas companies, but also some other forces that are kind of siphoning off the top of the oil industry. And I think that's what's been happening, because there's a huge black budget that's secretly being created, and every year over $1 trillion has to be raised kind of through the CIA doing these activities throughout the planet, throughout the U.S. And, you know, I think that wars are contrived so that they can raise all this money without people kind of knowing what's going on. But people are waking up.
Yeah, it seems, you know, it's pretty obvious that, you know, we've kind of moved into a corporate-sponsored dictatorial democracy. and corporations have no soul, and that's a problem. And all they do is look at profit and at any expense. And but I think people are starting to wake up to that and just saying, well, wait a second, look at the byproduct of this. Look what's happening to our environment. Look what's happening to the troops and the children, and look what's happening in these other countries. And you know, maybe after 1.2 million civilians lost their lives over there, that maybe we should refigure this, and maybe it wasn't, you know, the best approach to go over there, you know, and totally level the place, looking for non-existent weapons of mass destruction, and whoever, you know, took us on that path, I think, need to be held accountable.
Definitely, yep. I mean, we need to really try to make these people accountable, although I guess if you're looking at it kind of objectively in terms of the political system that it currently exists, I mean, Nancy Pelosi has taken impeachment proceedings off the table, and look at all the things that have been going on secretly behind the mainstream public's awareness. I mean, there was that B-52 bomber incident in August where there was an effort to use some nuclear weapons in covert operations. That was fortunately stopped. There's been this kind of build-up to a war against Iran. There was the resignation of Admiral Fallon, who was opposed to the Bush administration's policies in Iran, and looks like they're now pushing for a war against Iran. And of course, there's no real strong opposition within the American political system. So it really does come down to people taking action. And of course, the peace movement, they've had rallies and demonstrations around the country, but they haven't been very effective. I think the only thing that really has been effective has been the kind of prayer rallies, or the kind of prayer circles and the group meditations that have been held around the planet. Because I think we generally kind of we really underestimate the power of groups of people coming together and consciously trying to promote positive outcomes around the planet. You know, we always think it's going to be kind of hundreds of thousands of people at a rally, or some kind of impeachment process through the political system, or major players within the military kind of opposing these actions. But I think there's a lot to be said for just kind of groups of people. It doesn't have to be that many, 10, 20 people just forming a circle and just spending 20, 30 minutes just praying for peace or visualizing peace in trouble spots around the planet. And I think that can be a very, very powerful thing. And I think we just kind of don't really appreciate how powerful that is, because, you know, there are so many extraterrestrial visitors here coming, and they work with consciousness. They understand the power of consciousness, because they use consciousness to power their vehicles and to navigate interstellar and galactic space. So they understand the power of focused consciousness. So if you have a group of people who focus their thoughts on peace and harmony, I think that not only do you get the group's energies kind of radiating out to those trouble spots, but I think you get also the ETs helping, you get the celestial realms helping, you get the planet Earth herself helping. So I think a group of 10, 12 people, 10, 20 people that are just focused, I think that can make a tremendous impact.
You know, I think that's awesome, because that's exactly where I wanted to go with the rest of the interview, and you probably picked it up telepathically through that one mind. But I love this saying. They say one on the side of God is the majority, and it's amazing how the positive thinking and the higher frequency thoughts can completely alter thousands, if not millions, of lower vibrational thoughts. And they definitely are working through the vibrational continuum, and the ETs are using both their spirituality and their technology as well to lift and heal the planet and raise the frequencies here. So I really see that the days of the tyrants or the controllers are fast coming to a close. And we can all participate on that, you know, in the ways that you just mentioned, by forming groups and forming meditation groups and putting the, you know, doing the intention experiments and going global with these things, and just shift the consciousness, because eventually that consciousness of tyranny or that controlling consciousness is such a dense consciousness, it won't have any support whatsoever anymore as long as we drop the fear and the againstness and the separation and the competition that it keeps perpetuating here, and that's what it feeds off of.
Yes, I think the main game in town really is not so much the technology that is used against the people and against ETs, but it's really the consciousness on the planet as it's evolving, and you've got the mainstream media putting out, you know, just reams of negative images and stories and events. But there has been this kind of, through the internet mainly, just this kind of upsurge of very positive thinking and visualizations or visions, and so many groups that are out there now doing the positive intentional exercises, focusing their thoughts, encouraging others to do it. And I think we are in this kind of spiritual renaissance here on the planet. And you don't see it in the mainstream media because they're so focused and so controlled by the elites wanting to perpetuate the control system. But you're seeing a lot of it on the internet coming through now. Just there's this renaissance in its consciousness, and it's just coming through the books. You got, you know, David Hawkins' book, Truth Versus Power. You got Greg Braden's The Divine Matrix. You got the Holographic Universe. You've got so many books and so much literature now, the Bruce Lipton and his Biology of Belief.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much material coming out now showing that our thoughts shape our reality, and that if we are working in groups, working together to create a positive reality, then we do change things. And there are just millions of people that think the same way around the planet. And so we are a very powerful force. And the thing is, we're winning. I think that the only reason there has not been a repeat of 9/11 in the United States is because there were so many Americans who really opened up in terms of their heart, in terms of their value systems and empathy towards others. And they began to seriously work with others to promote peace and harmony around the country. And I think that there was a kind of lifting or an evolution in consciousness in the United States, which meant that these kind of dark efforts to create more 9/11 type scenarios just kept on being exposed. They didn't happen. And I think that the only reason that occurred was because there has been this kind of shift in consciousness in the United States and around the planet. And I think that that is just continuing, it's evolving, it's an enormous wave, and it's going to lift all ships. I mean, that's the kind of metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that wave will lift all ships, and even those opposed to this new age or this kind of new way of thinking in terms of conscious, focused, intentional acts of meditation, prayer, and consciousness change the world. Even those opposed to that will, in the end, kind of come on board and support it because they're going to benefit as well.
Yeah, it seems, I love those sayings, you know, a lot of the times they say the path to hell is paved with B, you know. And, you know, we have to get back into that pod consciousness and get out of competition and start, you know, shifting into cooperation and working in the highest and best good of humanity and the earth. And it's so programmed into us, this competition thing, that it is going to take a mass wave of consciousness and energy to shift this out of this, like you're talking about the program, the TV programming, you know, you have to have the fancy car, you have to drink the right beer to get the bronze babe, you know, in the bathing suit, and that whole program, and then on top of that, they add all the fear and they're coming to, you know, attack us. They're going to slice and dice us and make human pilaf out of us and all those other programs that are being sponsored by certain groups that they get really upset when you finger them, you know. But, you know, just this total fear and negativity that's being played out there, I think people in general are just going to have to start waking up and smelling the coffee and realize that they are being totally manipulated. And, you know, they're really... You know, we have to get out of this seek mode and outer appearance program and materialistic joy thing that we think is going to make us happy and realize that we can just be happy for no reason and we can be joyous for no reason and we can create our own reality and manifest whatever we need. You know, we don't need to attract shallow, superficial people with shallow, superficial things. You know, we can attract people on soul levels and things like that and just move out of this... program, you know, that's being heavily impressed upon us.
Well, yeah, no, I think that's happening. I mean, and I think the collapsing economy, I mean, it's not a good thing to see the American economy collapse, but I think one of the things that results from it is that people who suddenly lose their homes and their life savings are kind of threatened, and all of these kind of securities, these false securities that they built around themselves over a lifetime, that those kind of collapse, that they suddenly start to question the system and start questioning what they've been doing, because, you know, you spend a whole lifetime working hard to build up your home and you're getting a nice pension and kind of all of these securities, and then all of that kind of evaporates with the collapse of the dollar and the way in which the subprime mortgage crisis has played out. Then you start to question deeply what you've been doing, and I think we really are watching what is going to be a kind of tsunami in terms of a consciousness shift in the American population as this financial collapse kind of hits, that people are just going to be so shocked, and they're going to really be looking for answers to why this has been allowed, and maybe at the end of the day it'll be a good thing in waking a lot of people up.
I believe so too. It's you know, I kind of feel that there needs to be a tsunami of consciousness and energy and awakening, you know, or nature is going to provide her tsunami and take care of the mess one way or the other, and I think we're like jockeying back and forth between, is nature going to clean up the mess, or are we going to clean up the mess, which way? But I really do see the mess getting cleaned up one way or the other, and we do join the rest of the universe eventually in peace, and hopefully we can do it gracefully.
I agree with you. I think you're right. You've just pointed out exactly what is the choice we have. You know, it's either going to be people stay asleep and nature will clean up the kind of mess that's been created, or it'll be people wake up and we clean it up ourselves. And of course, if that happens, then that means that much of what has been created in terms of, you know, the positive things about Western civilization, that will kind of continue or move forward, but it'll be kind of revamped. And the stuff that really isn't sustainable, I mean, that'll just disappear. And I think that's really the way to go, because there's been so much work that's gone into helping the planet get to this point, or helping people kind of awaken to this point now, where we really see the choice before us. And I think that I'm confident that people are waking up enough that we're going to move forward without nature kind of coming out with all of the kind of earth changes, catastrophes that people have been talking about for so long, and that we're just going to have a much more gradual, harmonious shift.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, you know, what I see too is some people need that. I mean, that's the wake-up call they need. They really need to get spanked and that's the program they've chosen. They've chosen to remain asleep and be in total denial, and they're going to take it to the limit. And then there's other people that are waking up and moving, and I kind of feel like there's pockets or groups of consciousness and energy that are going to be protected and maintained, and there might be other places that are going to just hang on to the end and go through a major transformation process, because it just needs to happen, you know, due to the condition of the environment there and the consciousness that's psychometrized into the land. But you know, I'm all for just the total transmutation and a graceful shift. You know, it's that's what I'm praying for. But at the same time, I'm kind of covering my bases.
You got that 3 month supply hidden away down there in a cellar?
Yeah, you know that old saying, you know, like praise Allah, tie your camel. You know, yeah, that's kind of the way I look at things.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, here in Hawaii, I mean, it's just we're blessed, of course, because we are kind of so far away from everyone else that the thought forms here aren't nearly as kind of heavy as in other places. You know, we're surrounded by water,
mm-hmm.
thousands of miles in every direction, and so it's a little easier here to meet with people who are positive, and where, you know, we really are able to kind of collectively work together to offset any negative kind of changes that are coming. Like, for example, there was 3 months ago, there was a hurricane heading towards where we were here on the Big Island, and just there were a number of groups that just did the positive visualization, group exercises, and so forth to diffuse the hurricane. And sure enough, it was deflected. It was heading straight for the Big Island, and then it was deflected and went off into the Pacific. So I think communities can really work together to protect themselves, and we're kind of doing that here on the Big Island, because it is a very spiritual community. You know, we've got the dolphin pods here, and people swim with the dolphins, so they develop a strong community spirit, and so this really is probably the most highly evolved spiritual community I've ever been associated with.
You know, you think about that, the hurricane did its job because it brought everybody together in a unified effort to create a different reality. So I kind of see that's nature's role, in a way, to say, okay, you guys have been dragging your feet. Now it's time to really see what you're made of and get together and start doing some focus work and start creating the world you want to see and get into creationary mind versus reactionary mind and just reacting to what, the world is dishing out to you.
Yeah, I like that. I think it is. It's all about getting into that kind of creation mode and really believing that you can do it and just practicing with groups so that you do it and you see the results and then you kind of build up. And, we've had a group here at our home for just over a year and a half, a small group, about 8 to 10 people. We meet kind of regularly and we do these types of exercises, and you can feel when you do it that you've had an effect, and we can tune into different parts of the planet and have an effect, and that is very gratifying because we know we're having a lot of support coming through. There are a lot of kind of celestials and ETs that work with us that we actually communicate with through these exercises. We've got a few that actually do have that kind of telepathic ability with our ETs, and so we've had these types of communications, and we can feel the energies that are coming in from the higher realms, the celestial realms, and from the Earth herself. I mean, the Big Island of Hawaii is on 19.5, which is a sacred kind of location in terms of the sacred geometry of the planet Earth, and
definitely,
and so there's a lot of energy that comes through here. Pele is here as well, so we're feeling that yes, as we focus our energies and our intentions, we can really zone in on trouble spots. So that's something we'll be doing this weekend, because there is now just this threat hanging over us in terms of another war against Iran. And a set of false flag operations maybe going ahead in the Oregon, Washington area. I mean, you probably have heard of that.
I have. Do you remember last time when I was there in Hawaii at your last conference, we did that meditation with Kazekiel coming in, his energy. And we had an earthquake right at the time when we were doing that work. And none of us felt it in the room. We didn't even know what happened. And we came outside and everybody was outside going, all shooken up by the earthquake, and because the focused energy we have, none of us in the room even knew there was a quake. And it is possible to alter your energy and move just out of that frequency and miss all this stuff.
Exactly, yes. And I think those groups that do this, I mean, they're doing something that is really in their own direct interest, because they will be in a safe place because they are creating the kind of atmosphere for protecting themselves and their groups and loved ones. And I think they also have the benefit that when they're working collectively in groups, that they help kind of the planet deal with these very dark energies that are being cleansed.
Definitely. We're out of time. I mean, we could go on forever on this, but before we close out, you've got your website, exopolitics.org, and also I think you have an event coming up in May, a conference. And
that's right, yes, the Earth Transformation Conference. So people can go there, find out, earthtransformation.com, and we're looking at new science, consciousness, and contact, because those are the things that need to come together, mm-hmm. the science, the consciousness, and the contact to transform our world. And we've got 11 speakers, and it's going to be a phenomenal event. So just go to the website, earthtransformation.com, and find out more about it.
Great. Well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. We'll definitely have to do it again real soon. It was an awesome interview, and give Angelica a big hug.
Thanks, James. All the best.
All right. Good night. Well, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off. Have a great evening.